Blog Talk Radio.
You are my life.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I am your host, Ron Golden, and of course, we are brought to you by Patriot Families. That's patriotfamilieswithays.com. You know, I had to play that song tonight. Sometimes we lose sight of the real purpose. The reason that we get out of bed in the morning and continue to do the things we do throughout the day, through the week, the month, and the year, why we fight, the fight that we're fighting. All too often it can seem that the fight is really not worth fighting, or that there's really no chance or hope of changing anything. I think the fight is to educate people to open their eyes to what the world really is and what it isn't. And things aren't as easily packaged, put in a little box, wrapped up with a bow, as we would often believe them to be. There are so many different aspects of every little thing that we may not be aware of. And we can never fully understand or comprehend the whole thing. It's just impossible. It's too complex. I apologize for the constant throat clearing. We've got pollen season here in Georgia, and it seems as I get older, it bothers me more and more. And it's quite a troublesome to continue to hit the mute button. So I guess, you know, we just need to make sure that we try to stay focused. Yes, Rod, more mature. Although my wife would vehemently disagree with you, she would say that I'm getting older, but I'm definitely not getting more mature. I'm certain of that. But you know, it can be difficult. I certainly, today, yesterday, just haven't been feeling it. Just kind of depressed, I suppose, for lack of a better term. As we watch all of these things go on around the world, and you know, you can see certain patterns develop. When the best topic on the alternative news media is the taxation of cow farts, we really have slipped to a new low, even for human beings and our sinful nature. And it's just depressing after a while. It just gets old. I don't know about most of you, but I'd really just like to be able to live my life without being interfered with. I don't intend on trespassing on someone else or getting in their business or damaging their property or trying to control their lives in any way. I'd just like to be able to live out my life, enjoy my family, my loved ones, my friends, without feeling that I'm being pressured and obligated to perform for others. We even see so many people that put on false fronts, false facades, and I think people do that as a way of protecting themselves, because the inner self, the real person, is too fragile. And so they build these false fronts, false personas, multiple personalities, if you will, as a defense mechanism so that people never really get to know the real them. And it's depressing to see. I study people quite often, and it's really sad when you run across someone who just blatantly, you know, they're just a liar. They're lying, and they're lying for the sake of self-protection. And it's just sad to see a lot of potential out there that gets lost in trying to protect the fragility of our human existence, I guess. Anyway, enough with trying to depress everybody with my somber mood. I had a few articles ready late in the week, Saturday, and early in the week, I guess, yesterday. And I wasn't even sure that I was going to do the show tonight. So I just kind of set those aside. Started doing some research, you know. And it's interesting to me, if you do a Google search on banking crisis in the Ukraine banking default, the story of what's going on in the Ukraine takes on a kind of a new light. And I saw some incredible things today in regards to the monetary system and banking. And everything, of course, is centering around the Chinese currency right now, the renminbi or the yuan, with members of the EU, Germany and Germany and England signing more currency swap deals. It's just, to me, pretty blatant what's going on. And it's certainly a war, but not a war with guns and soldiers, so to speak, not in a traditional sense. There are folks that are being injured and killed over there, yes. But it's not a war in the traditional sense that we think of war. And it's very unsettling. I also see Japan in very dire straits. And I think if you went back several months and listened to past programs, you would hear me talk about Japan and that they may be the first domino to fall in this whole mess. And I was trying to put together some of the connections between the banking houses that have the most risk exposure in the Ukraine. And it's interesting because the financial crisis in Ukraine, from the Ukrainian perspective, is the very same thing that we've heard in many other countries around the world, that terrible term, sovereign debt and default. So the concern is that the Ukrainian government would default on its sovereign debt. And of course, that leads to the question, who's financing Ukraine's sovereign debt? Of course, Ukraine's central bank, but we all know that the central banks don't do all the financing. They farm that out. They sell out the notes to other countries, which is one of the reasons that we talked about that, you know, we owe China $1.3 trillion. China owns our debt. China has bought our debt. That's what that means, that they have purchased bonds from the central bank. The same thing holds true with Ukraine. So when you start looking at what banks hold Ukrainian debt, well, China, Russia, the United States, the IMF, Italy, Germany. Isn't that funny? All these other banks and central banks around the world own Ukraine's debt. So Congress, of course, is all a-tither to send $1 billion over to the Ukraine for aid. As Dr. Paul pointed out many times, all funds are fungible. So whatever aid package gets sent to the Ukraine, it's just simply going to be rehypothecated as loan payments to the banks that are financing the Ukrainian debt, whether it be a Chinese bank or a Russian bank or, you know, several. Depends on who's first in line to get their payments. One of those banks is called Delta Bank, which, as I understand it, is 30% owned by Cargill. Cargill, one of the last remaining privately owned companies in the United States. I guess the point is, and of course the IMF is talking about $27 billion to bail out the Ukraine. So I guess the point is that this is no different logistically, from a financial standpoint, than was the housing bubble, the housing crisis. Granted, the mechanics of it are different, but financially, it's essentially the same. We're talking about a bailout package, and we're not talking about bailing out the Ukrainian people. We're not talking about bailing out the guy that owns a house in the Ukraine and is at risk of losing his home because his mortgage is with the Ukrainian central bank, and if that bank collapses, he'll lose his mortgage. Someone will own it, won't they? Some bank will own that collateral. No, it's simply a bank bailout. That's what this is. We dress it up in sheep's clothing, call it an aid package, makes people feel good about themselves that we're sending aid to the Ukrainians, you know, these poor, downtrodden people. And it's true, there are a lot of very poor people in the Ukraine. There are a lot of very poor people right here in the United States of America. And we subsidize them as well. And, you know, it's the old adage that whenever you subsidize something, you get more of it. Well, we're not we are subsidizing poverty, both here in the United States and abroad, with these quote-unquote aid packages. You know, it's not aiding people. It's assisting people in remaining servitude, remaining in peonage to the government. It's just disheartening to see time and time again. It's just simply comes down to, you know, the banking conglomerates rule the roost. And we buy into it. We believe it. We believe that that's the only way that things can work. And it's just simply not true. We look at the taxation, and I was going to do some calculations just on the paltry $1 billion that Congress is wanting to send to the Ukraine. And I wonder, you know, I don't have my calculator in front of me. I don't know if my calculator will even go that high, but it might. But if you took $1 billion and you divided it by 60,000, that would give you a number of $16,666,000 people in the United States earning $60,000 a year. That's what it would take to produce $1 billion to send to the Ukraine. So you'd have to take roughly 17 million people earning $60,000 a year and confiscate 100% of their earnings for an entire year so that you could send $1 billion over to the Ukraine. Now, clearly, that's not how it works. We don't need to do that. So where does Congress get this money to send $1 billion over to the Ukraine? Because obviously the revenue hasn't been collected yet to appropriate. So, of course, we have to conjure it up out of thin air, otherwise known as borrowing. And they're going to borrow it from the central bank, who first borrows it from the Treasury, but at a much discounted rate. It's just the most insane, insidious system that you could possibly devise. And then on top of that, it places the average American, those 16 million people, and everyone else in the United States of America, it places them under the false perception that they now are obligated to repay this loan. But they're truly, literally, is not an actual loan being undertaken here. It's just the most disgusting, despicable pyramid scheme. Makes, you know, Bernie Madoff look like a choir boy, for crying out loud. And it's time that people begin to understand it and begin to reject it. And, you know, China creates their money the same way that the United States government creates its money. And if you really want to boil it down to brass tacks, as they say, the U.S. dollar is backed by the full faith and credit of the American people. And what that really means is that as long as you are a willing slave, they will continue to rob your productivity, your productive efforts, your time, your labor, your brain power, your abilities. They will use that as collateral to create fantasy land. And I believe correct. We have Miss Linda on the line with us. How are you, Miss Linda?
Hi. So good to be on today. What you were describing of China was using the same method that we do to create this utopian fantasy and, you know, bevy of money. I believe that Griffin called it the Mandrake mechanism.
The magician.
The wand. So, you know, and when you're talking about the poor taxpayers being on the hook for something, this has been going on since this Federal Reserve system has been in place, as you know. In other words, whether it's a war or a false flag or whatever the heck you want to call it, guess who gets to be the loan guarantors? The poor taxpayers. And everybody knows it except the schmuck little serfs like you and me. That's the problem. And you're correct.
There's another way that you can phrase a loan guarantor, and that would be collateral.
Sure.
This is the point that I don't think people understand. And when you step back from the whole sordid thing, mm-hmm. and you really start to evaluate it, and you ask, well, why do I have this specific job, and why do I work 80 hours a week?
Sure.
What am I doing? And it's all to pay your bills. What bills? Well, you got your taxes, and you got your car payment, you got your insurance, right? You know, well, why do I need a car? Well, you got to have a car if you're going to have a job, right? And you got to have insurance because it's law. So here we go. It's like those people that got helped out by the TVA when they brought, you know, electricity and running water and indoor plumbing up there. And, man, look at how much better their life was with a water bill, a power bill, and a gas bill, you know?
Exactly. I know. This is what I think some people's definition of fascism would be, is when you use force, use government as force, this is what they're talking about. And when you look at the taxing the cow flatulence, for example, which is in, when I take a look at this picture and try to see the big picture, that is what Agenda 21 is in a nutshell. They don't want you to, look, Maurice Strong even said that all this meat consumption has got to go away, the private property has got to go away. We have many people who have been influenced by ICLEI and, you know, Agenda 21 from the top on down, kind of around the side, of course, up through the, quote, grassroots, but not real, I call it AstroTurf, to quote Mr. Pigliosi. And then they get into the SANDAG, which is the, you know, the San Diego and government organizations, which is like NGOs. They're public-private partnerships, which, you know, should be avoided, I think, at all costs. And they infiltrate, and they do this. These are unelected Lilliputian bureaucrats, and they need to be stopped. The EPA needs to be stopped. Obama needs to be stopped. And if you pull back the curtain to see what's behind that green mask, and you see this huge leviathan, and they're trying to push quicker because people are starting to wake up to what you're talking about, and they can't have that.
Well, it's maddening. It's just maddening to look around, and you know, anytime someone comes along that threatens the status quo, mm-hmm. well, they pull out all the stops to beat the daylights out of that person. You look at what happened with Ron Paul. And mm-hmm. and the sad
they're
thing...
They're doing it to his son, too. They're doing it to Rand right now.
Oh, I know. And, you know, the sad thing for me, was when I saw the number of Americans who were turning against Ron Paul because they are so entrenched in believing in they fit inside this little box over here.
Sure.
That they can't see outside of that box, and they can't see that that box is what's keeping them captured.
Right. No, I know.
And what
it's
they believe is
it is
right. And what they believe is safety and security is actually the trap that they live in, and they just can't see it. They can't visualize it.
Yeah, that's that. As you know, I mean, every time we turn around, they name these god awful things, these progressive names, which is usually flip side or the opposite of what it really means, like the SAFE Act out of New York. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, and now
well,
the people...
Like Social Security. Let me know how that works out for you, how secure you feel.
Our Patriot Act, oh, please, and National Defense Authorization Act. Time to just throw up. I mean, a sustainable development, again, more, you know, common core, and they've got the apple core. Well, I'll tell you what's rotten to the core, that nonsense. So, I mean, it is nuts. It does make you crazy. And they're, I don't know, I think they're just ramping it up because they, you know what, I think that there's something in the air. It's coming. And you know that financial trigger is going to do it, and that's why a lot of us who are stuck in these cities are pretty terrified.
It is so much more open and honest now than it was in the past. And I don't mean that to be facetious by any stretch of the imagination. You know, when Ron Paul ran for president in 2008 and in 2012, they were, you take someone like Rudy Giuliani, he was just a jerk. But for the most, I mean, the guy is, you know, and that's all I can say, because if I say any more, I'll probably offend someone or have the CIA or someone knocking at my door. But, you know, aside from them just routinely, you know, verbally being jerk-offs in the mainstream media, you didn't get the feeling, or there wasn't a blatant, outright party stance of, you know, anti-Ron Paul. And actually several folks from within the Republican Party spoke, you know, well, and they were careful not to cross the lines and kind of thing. But that's not the case this time around. We're really seeing a division in that political party. And I hate to, you know, play partisan politics or whatever, but it just, to me, is more transparent now. It's more out in the open now than it was before.
And I think a lot of that has to do with that awakening that happened when, you know, who got elected. I also think that the internet has a lot to do with it. The alternate media, there's, you know, and Blog Talk Radio's had a lot to do with it. I mean, even Drudge Report and Alex Jones, for whatever they're worth, you know, the thing is, that internet is bringing more people to light, more faces, more voices, more opinions. Again, I like to read as much as possible, because to me, it helps me retain better. I don't know why, that's just the way I'm kind of wired to learn. But
sure.
So it's things are happening, and like you said, it's more blatant. Well, I do believe the masks are off, and people really need to start doing some kind of homework. I do it every day. I blog every day on every single venue, whether it's the Union Tribune at my local or if it's Facebook. I tell people, for the love of God, do your own homework on this stuff, and I tell them where to go, what to look for, you know, all these things. And it is frightening, because what Glenn was saying, because he knows what they're gearing up to do. He's got Jeb Bush's picture next to Hillary Clinton, and he says, really? These are going to be our choices?
Well,
really?
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, part of what I was alluding to was an article that I was reading about a guy named Adelson, and I don't know if you remember Mr. Adelson or not, but he owns a large casino or group of casinos in Nevada. And he was a huge supporter of Newt Gingrich.
Oh God.
And Mitt Romney. And so they recently in Nevada had a meeting with Adelson and a Jewish support group to kind of get their ducks in a row, so that if Rand Paul becomes more of a threat, they're going to put all of their might and money behind fighting Rand Paul and supporting Jeb Bush.
Of course they are. Oh, and guess who will be one of the leaders of that pack running around with his little whiteboard? That will be Karl Rove, who is, in my mind, a damn traitor to anything holy.
Oh, he's not a traitor. I don't think Rove was ever, you know, loyal to anything other than a progressive ideology in his whole life. So,
well,
you know
what
to
I
call
mean.
Him a traitor is a compliment,
well, yeah.
I think. But
I think I screwed on that. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, to whatever he was saying that he was ascribed to. So, yeah. I mean, and then you've got people like Hannity. I swear, every during the weekend, I mean, I don't watch these people. Sometimes I tune into Stossel. But I've been watching Lifetime movies with, you know, all the stuff that they can dream up. It's much more entertaining than this stuff. I can't. I just can't. I can't listen to the radio anymore. It's mind-boggling. I've turned the corner on that one, too. No more. I'm not playing it. I can't do it because I know where they're coming from, and it's like it's indoctrination central. You know, unbelievable. So, I get your frustration on the depression part because, you know, you just go, what? And the thing is, you just keep wondering, where's your energy going to come from? But if we don't fight for our own survival, they will take it all from us, Ron. I mean, they will take every ounce of whatever was private property or private property ownership away from us. They will wipe out the middle class. They're doing it. They're doing it today in front of our eyes. So, again, we have to find ways to educate others, not comply, encourage others subtly to not comply. And I do, and I know you do too. So, you know, it's craziness. You're right. And I can't even imagine going back in time or having those guys be here today and listening to the Cal Flatulence story. Would they absolutely just, I mean, I don't even know what they would do first. Whether they would faint from
the I had an idea, and I think that, you know, there's probably an economic opportunity there. I'm envisioning something along the lines of like an orange traffic cone with a little with the narrow end pointing out and a little a turbine fan in there, right, with a generator to generate electricity from the cow fart wind, you know, so it could be like a wind turbine. And surely you could get tax credits for that. And going green, that would be a carbon offset, wouldn't it? I would think that should be worth like a couple trillion.
I think we ought to bottle up that methane and put it where it will do the most good in somebody's face. Oh, God, they make me crazy.
I would think in a large container under, you know, pressure with a fuse and a timer on it, but I won't say that out loud. Maybe even in a pressure cooker.
Oh, God.
My goodness.
Inside of a backpack. Oh,
yeah,
geez.
Exactly. You know, disguised as a shotgun for our illustrious genius.
You know,
we're
going to get so much trouble. They're going to, one of these days,
care.
The rats.
I mean, you know,
there's
days
I wish
they would just come and, you know, I'm going to Rome to be crucified. I'll see y'all later. I'm out of here. It's nuts. It's absolutely insane.
I'm glad we can still laugh because we got it. Oh, yeah, you know, hopefully everybody's got their laptops ready because we got a Skype when we get over there to Delaney. That's going to be fun. We'll show you our shenanigans if we live that long. Hey.
I was going through some of the, I was reading through, believe it or not, the Ukrainian Central Bank Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, if you can believe it, from 2012. Oh, my Lord. you know, well, and part of what I'm trying to figure out is who owns these banks because the, you know, allegedly the, as far as the Ukrainian Central Bank, according to the report, the five members of the Ukrainian Council have 100% ownership of the bank. They own all shares, and it's a joint stock corporation. I don't believe that for a minute, but,
wow,
you know.
It's pretty, I know. And then, of course, there's every 5 or 10 minutes, you know, on Fox News. If you want to find out where the plane is, then what we need is a YouTube cartoon video with the little guy from Fantasy Island going, The plane.
Yeah, that's what they said. They should have hired this guy. He knew how to find the plane.
Dear God.
And you got to feel for those people that, you know, for all intents and purposes, whether it crashed or not, regardless of what's happened, they've lost loved ones, you know.
Yeah.
And they
don't
have
any
closure.
Absolutely not. I know that. And everybody in our church has been praying for them from the day this thing went missing. So, I mean, okay. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you except what we're doing. I mean, there's probably not much I can do at this point. And I know that you have done your measure of preparation.
I've become enamored with revolvers of late, and I've probably...
Oh, okay.
I've probably picked up a dozen just because they're nifty. They're cool. I like the mechanical aspect of the firearms. So
that's just
me. You know, I tinker with things all the time. But
and depending upon the caliber, I would imagine they fit handily in holsters.
Absolutely.
We're all going to get visits from the
They can come visit. I find I prefer the 357 Magnum just because it's a great round. It has a very high velocity. It does great. So I kind of like it. Oh, there is no Obamacare, Pamela, the RN in our chat room. There's no such thing as Obamacare. There's just a whole series of executive orders that are masquerading as Obamacare.
Oh, my God. It's sick.
It would be a joke if it weren't so serious and the consequences. And damn it, that's the thing that I think pisses me off more than anything else, is that these shenanigans that these jackasses continue to foist upon the general public, they have real impact on real people. There are consequences, real consequences, dire consequences in some instances. And at the worst, they give people a false sense of security and a false hope. It really frosts me. You know
what's even worse? Because a couple of my friends who are here, and like these people are, some of their actual income is not reported because that's just the nature of what they're doing, and it's not illegal. It's just, you know, these people are helping seniors, et cetera. Well, anyway, so they're on the low end of the totem pole here as far as income, and these SOBs have got this poor girl so terrified that she wouldn't meet the deadline, you know, and she goes into Covered California, and she's never got a confirmation, so now she's panicking and going into Medi-Cal, and, I mean, sleep panicking 2 days ago she's not even going to be subject to a tax because she doesn't make over $19,000 a year. You know, there's nothing for her to, I don't understand. All I know is the whole thing is just, it's evil. It never should have passed. It never should have been rammed down our throats. I mean, everything that they're doing is null and void, Ron. It's unconstitutional. I don't care what Justice Roberts says. Because I listen to the Lord. I don't listen to those people anymore. They're liars. They're disgusting.
Well, and, you know, I heard there's a couple of guys on the Sirius satellite radio, and I heard them talking over the weekend, and they were talking about the insurance companies, and they totally twisted it around.
Oh, my God.
And what they were saying was the government is dictating how much money the insurance companies can make. And I'm like, oh, you're looking at that the wrong way through.
Backwards.
You know, they're looking at it as, okay, the government says that the insurance companies can only make 5%. That's not at all what they're saying. They are guaranteeing the insurance companies to make at least 5%. Okay? Kind of like central banking. Don't think for a moment that the bankers that wrote the Federal Reserve Act were going to put something in there that would limit the amount of money and perks that they could make. Not even close.
No. here's what I think is going to happen. I think this whole thing is geared to do a, number one, a bailout to the insurance companies, right? Because they're going to go away, and then up comes the, in the vacuum, the single payer system. That's where I think this is going.
Well, I think that the I believe that the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, as Pamela is pointing out, I think they were the on the front line of writing this damn thing to begin with.
Yep, wouldn't surprise me.
I've said all along, I've met plenty of politicians. There's a reason most of them aren't practicing attorneys. They're not freaking smart enough. So they become politicians. They're not smart enough to write law. That's why they hire staffers. And their staffers often work with lobbyists and lobbying firms.
Sure.
And staffers and the firms, the lobbying firms, those are the lawyers that actually write the verbiage for the proposed legislation. And then said staffer brings the completed proposal to their boss, and their boss, I want to introduce a resolution, House joint resolution, blah, blah, umpty squat. And yeah, they know what's in it because the staffer and the lobbyist have given them a rundown on what's allegedly in there. And they present it. And then pretty soon, before you know it, you know, every other swinging Richard up there has got a lobbyist or two and staffers. And so they cobble all this crap together. And voila, you got a bill. And that's how you have someone like Nancy Pelosi say, well, we've got to pass it to know what's in it. She was being honest. For God's sake, the lady was being honest. A rare moment of transparent, pure honesty.
I understand that she was actually speaking the truth, but the arrogance of some of these people, I'm just goes beyond the pale for me. They don't, you know, as we know, they don't care. They don't listen. They don't represent. That's for danger.
No. My God, they're getting paid on average $178,000 a year to go sit up there and act like a bunch of strutting banty roosters, like they're important. Well, I'm a, by God, U.S. Senator.
Yeah.
You know, and I just make me want to beat the snot out of somebody.
It's a barf fest, I'm telling you. Oh, gosh.
I mean, if you're just worthless and you can't do anything else, get a job as a damn politician. Get elected to office.
There you go.
You know?
I know.
If nothing else, you can be a good liar. Hell, they're not even that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because, and I think my dad used to say it years ago, anybody who's in service is because they couldn't make it in the real world. And he was right. Yeah. Oh, God. It wouldn't last 5 minutes in a real job, that's for sure. I know.
Oh, yeah. Pamela's right. The suburbs of D.C., multimillion-dollar homes. Yeah, it's the only place in the whole damn country other than North Dakota where the economy is absolutely booming and they've never had a recession, and that's D.C. You know, it's kind of like the old report.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the old report about, you know, from the 1800s when they said that one reporter noticed that when Congress was in session, pregnancies increased by 35% in Washington, D.C., and that was back in the 1800s.
Wow.
Yeah. So don't think that much has changed these days and this is the new way of things are done. No, they've been screwing people over for over 200 years. This is not a new profession.
Yeah. That's for sure. It's so sad. Well,
it is.
You know, you said it before, and I know Mikey said it. It's what we allow. It's how far they can go. It's how far we let them push. And
we
know,
accept
the
it. We tolerate it, and we get more of it.
Every time you turn around, it's what they want so they can vote. It's crazy. Oh, my Lord. It is sad. You know, again, we don't know. I just think that there's a lot of people who really believe that once this bubble bursts, that's when the real pain's going to happen, and that's when, you know, some realizations and some changes are going to happen. And I don't think it's going to be without some, you know, the red stuff running. I don't want that to happen, but I don't know how we're going to avoid it. I'm just praying. I don't know.
The really tragic part of that whole deal, and I agree with you that, you know, I believe that is what's coming, is it's going to be a lot of misplaced anger. And
yeah.
People are going to be directing their anger towards what they can see directly in front of them as a threat rather than the actual threat, the progenitor of this mess.
The thing is, the ones who are going to come after your food are not the ones that we would really like to eliminate, unfortunately. But they're not the ones coming to your door, but you still have a right to defend yourself. You have to have a lot of discernment at those times, let me tell you. That's going to be not fun.
And Pamela said, and it's not just Dems either. Honey, Pamela, I got news for you. I make no distinction between the two, other than in name for their parties just to give some kind of recognition. But they're all a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah. What did Bill call it? He says, one big giant pile of merd, two different piles. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Exactly.
R&D. Yep. I know. Are you only on an hour tonight?
I'm only doing an hour tonight. I just
okay. You're kind of burnt out, huh?
Yeah. Well, I
know.
I don't know, burnout. I don't know what the heck's going on, but just feeling a little, just not feeling into it tonight.
Don't have a drink.
I don't think that's gonna help at all.
It won't fix it, but it'll make you feel better for a while. Anyway, thanks for taking the call. It was great, and have a great night, everybody. And I'll catch you guys tomorrow for whoever's on. I think it's Bill and them. That's correct.
Yes, Bill and the boys are on for Hoot and Holler tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And you know, Pamela, I used to think that term limits were a good idea also, but then I rethought my position. As bad as the evil, corrupt criminal network is in Washington, D.C., can you even comprehend having half of Congress as lame ducks, not worried about being reelected, and a lame duck president all at the same time?
All right. God bless, and I'll see you in the chat room.
Any face at all, yes, and God bless you, Linda. I think the only thing that saved any semblance of sanity up there right now is the fact that a lot of those SOBs worry about running for reelection. So they have to keep up appearances. You remove that stumbling block, and oh my God, I shudder to think how transparent they would be in hosing the sheeple of America. But, you know, something's got to change. You're right. I agree. I don't know what the answer is. I've got some ideas, but none of them are very nice. Guys, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Miss Linda, thank you for calling in. Mr. Rod Luke, Miss Yola, Mr. Nick, Pamela, thank you for stopping by the show. Would be happy to have you at our Patriot Families. That's patriotfamilies.com with a YS. Stop on by. We got to keep fighting, guys. We can't give up. FT, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully by tomorrow I'll have my head on straight and won't be feeling quite as blah. Right now I feel kind of like Eeyore. You guys remember him from the old Winnie the Pooh cartoons. That's what I'm kind of feeling like. And we like that here, Pamela. It's A-okay to be vocal. I like it. I love the input. Next time, I would be happy to have you call in, and we'll give you the number out. I don't do a very good job of that, but certainly we love to hear other opinions and other ideas. It's great. That's what makes us prosper. You know, we don't have all the answers, but somebody out there might have an answer that we didn't think of, and we love it. So
absolutely glad to have you. Miss Yola, Mr. Nick, and everybody, we'll see you guys tomorrow night right here for the Hoot and Holler Show. And I am going to send you all out with another song. And let me see if I can pick a good one here. Oh, I think I'm just going to have to go with some Johnny Cash. I can't help myself, but he is one of my favorites, and I've got to play it. God bless, guys, and enjoy.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.